Tomit Beis, beginning with the second line. All right, having discussed some of the brachas that are associated with the Birkas Kohanim, and as we had a chance to compare them in the article of Sidur, we now continue. Omer Abchista, Abchista said as follows, says, Ein HaKohanim Rashayim L'chov Kishvei Yitzbeisehen Ad She'yasu Paneihem Min HaTzibur. Okay, so in order to understand what is being said over here, I'll give you first of all a translation and then an explanation. All right. What he said is that the Kohanim are not permitted to bend the joints of their fingers until they turn their faces around from the congregation. All right, so now let's picture to ourselves. The Kohanim, when they raise their hands in blessing, remember he said that the blessing itself they have to recite facing the congregation, okay? They have to also have their hands joined in a very special way, okay? Like this, as a gentleman. And they have to keep it like this, okay? So, naturally, you know, if the Birkas Kohanim schleps out, because there's a chazan and the singing and this and that and so on, you know, it's a job, you know, to keep it like this. So, therefore, right, they are not allowed to bend their fingers until they've completed the blessing and then turn around and place the ark again. That's when they can unbend their fingers. Okay, so this is what he's saying. Right. Yeah, if they have arthritis, it's a bit sort of schwer.
It takes practice.
Right.
Some little boys take the thickness of the
Okay. The answer is that presumably the divine presence is being right, and therefore, just as we're not allowed to look at the divine presence, so likewise, the Kohen who at this particular moment is doing it, we don't look at it. Okay.
So why did which rabbi was it that taught us that to look away is to show to turn your back is a lack of
respect? Turning your back is definitely wrong. No question. Yeah, I know it was Rabbi Rosenzweig. But he was right. There's no question. You should face the Kohanim.
Face looked down.
Right.
Look down.
Nobody says you have to look at their faces. You
look down.
Right. You have a siddur or a mas or whatever it is, you look in it, that's all.
You look around the shul and
right.
There's a lot of people that turn away because...
No, that was wrong.
It was
absolutely wrong to do so. Yeah, because...
But you can turn to the side, I mean, you can turn your face like this, but you don't turn your back.
No.
Why? Look in the congregation, you're going to be really
crazy. Well, the men cover their
heads.
Some do.
I know.
Not everybody, you mean.
Primarily because of their kids.
Okay, Omer Abzera on the Chisla, another statement that he made, that Ein HaKorei Rashai Likros Kohanim Ad Sheyichle Omei Mepi HaTzibur. Okay, first part of this statement is as follows, that the Korei, in other words, the person, let's say, who is calling upon the Kohanim to go to Duchen. All right, I have to explain to you. Again, take a look at our Sidur. Okay. And we will turn back now to page 694. Okay? Turn back to page 694. All right. In an undertone, the chazan is supposed to say the first two lines that you see over there. Of course, this is the normal thing that we say whenever, you know, it comes time for duchening, or if we don't have a coin, it makes no difference. The chazan says this, okay? You know, Bochenu Abraham Shaleshes, and so on, bless us with the threefold blessing, you know, as written in the Torah by Moshe, and so on, all right? And then what does he do? He says Kohanim out loud, and that is the signal for the Kohanim to begin the bracha. Okay?
Yeah. I have it.
Yeah.
What's that?
All right? So, and then we also learn that what if there is only one Kohen, then in that case he doesn't make any announcement. That's all.
But you can have only one Kohen and that's
kosher. Oh, of course.
Yeah, okay.
Of course.
One Kohen.
Right. And if you have 100 Kohanim, it's also kosher.
Yeah.
And we also discussed the problem of what happens if you're in a community where everybody is a Kohen. You missed all these goodies by not coming.
We also discussed if there's none.
Huh?
If
there is no Kohen, then there's no Birkas Kohen. The Chazan simply says this paragraph, and that's it. The way we do it at all times. I mean, you come, you hear Shabbos morning, all right, so you hear what they do over there, okay? In Eretz Yisrael, you know, that they duchen every day, or just about every day, okay? It's particularly true in Yerushalayim and all the areas that surround Yerushalayim. In some parts of Eretz Yisrael, they have the custom to duchen every week. Let's say to duchen every Shabbos and Yom Tov and so on, okay? But in the Yerushalayim area, they duchen every single day. So, that being the case, sometimes it happens that you don't have a Kohen, so in that case, you don't duchen. But if there's even one Kohen present, then of course it's a mitzvah for him to go up to bless the people. This too we learned in the previous week, that it's a mitzvah for the Kohen to go up, and if he neglects it, he'd be violating a commandment, you see. Of course, this is a special mitzvah given to the Kohanim to go and to bless the people. And not only that, but we said the Rabbeinu Shel Olam desires that the Kohanim bless the people, because the Rabbeinu Shel Olam desires that the people of Israel be a blessed people. Okay? So that's why I'm saying, if you come every week, you learn all these good things. Right. Believe it or not, that's not found over here. I mean, it's not in the Gemara, but then the PBA, yeah, that's the response. I mean, if you hear it, so you say, I'm Klesha Kohanim, right? The people.
The people, not the Kohanim.
Not the Kohanim. No,
the Kohanim say too.
No, they shouldn't.
I know they shouldn't.
No, they shouldn't. They should say the Bracha. That's the idea. Okay. So, we learned then that the Korei, in other words, the person who is calling out Kohanim, he's not allowed to call out Kohanim Ad sheyichle omein mepi atzibur, before the people have responded with omein to what? Of course, the answer is amen to hatov shemcho lechonu lehodos, the ending of modem anachnu lo. Don't rush it. You have to answer amen when you hear a bracha, and then only after that do you proceed with the next stage of the service, which in this case is the birkas kohanim. So that's one thing. And then he says further, the yena tzibur ashoyin lanos amen ad shetichle bracha mepi hakohanim. Okay. Next thing, did I skip something?
Yeah.
Pardon me. Okay, right. Then I call him Rashen. Aschil bevrocha sheichle dibor mepi hakorei. Okay, yes. And he's saying also that the Kohanim are not allowed to begin to recite the bracha, you know, the verech or whatever, to recite the bracha that they have to recite, Asher Kedushim Kedushos Shel Aharon, right, etc. Not allowed to recite their only, their priestly bracha before the korei. In other words, in this case, the person who's calling out hakohanim has said it. They have to wait. They don't immediately jump the gun, but they have to wait for him to say. Then after that, then they first begin with the bracha. The reason why they use the word korei over here is, as we learned, normally, of course, who is going to do the calling out? The answer is going to be the chazan. But what happens if the chazan is a kohen, as we have over here in Kadima? Then in that case, somebody else has to call. Right, exactly. Okay? In Israel, I have to tell you again, you're davening with, minyonim over there, there's always somebody. You don't even hear the chazan say Baruchin v'Abraham Shalosh. They don't say it. Or if they do it, they say it so silently that nobody hears a word of it, okay? But somebody in the congregation who's standing near the Kohanim, he calls out. He says, Kohanim. And if there is only one Kohen over there, then in that case he doesn't say anything. But in that particular case, then the Kohanim themselves begin the bracha, okay? At the appropriate place, right? Yeah, this is the procedure over there, okay? But in other words, it does not necessarily have to be the chazan if under certain circumstances it's somebody else who is on it to call out Kohani. Okay? All right. And then the next part of the statement. Let's see. where am I? Right? And then he says, "V'natzibur ashoin lanos amen ashtichu bracha mifi akohanim." Likewise, when the people, congregation, hears the they hear the kohanim recite the bracha, they're not allowed to say amen until they've heard the entire bracha. You know, there are people who are jumping the gun all the time. Right, absolutely. Should hear the bracha first and then say your name.
Some chassidim cut the bracha very short because I know some people start saying your name before.
Yeah, well. Not, fine, not every chassid cuts things short.
Not chassidim.
Yeah. Alright, next. The Yenakon Rashim Lashil Racha Acheres. All right, then the Yenakon Rashim Lashil Racha Acheres Lashiyechlo Omeim Pi Hatzibur. Now, what they're saying over here, where it says that the Kohanim are not permitted to begin another bracha before the congregation has answered Omein, what they mean is as follows: the Birkas Kohanim actually consists of three verses from the Torah. Okay, Racha Hashem Yishbarecho, Yorei Hashem Ponelecho Echo, Yisro Hashem Ponelecho Yisro Nosholim. So the Kohanim say Recha Hashem Yishmarecha, for example. Okay, the congregation has to answer Amen. The Kohanim are not allowed to go ahead and tell them to say, you know, Yoir, which is the next part of the, you know, the next bracha, the beginning of the next bracha, before the congregation has completed the saying of Amen. Now the same thing is also true again between the second and the third one. You know, Hashem Ponelecho, as compared to Yisro, they're not supposed to begin that. So that this is what it means over here. They cannot begin with any other bracha of the threefold blessing until the congregation has a chance to say Amen to the bracha that they were listening to. Okay? Yeah. Okay. The Omer Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Zeira said, right, that Omer Rav Chisa, again the name of Rav Chisa, he said, Eina Kohanim Rashayin, the Kohanim are not permitted lachsir p'neihem in atzibur, to turn their faces back from the congregation. Remember I said that after they have completed the Birkas Kohanim, then they should again face the Oren Kodesh, right? But they're not allowed to do so ad sheyasru shlech tzibur b'sim shalom, before the chazan begins saying sim shalom. So if the chazan is a dreikop and he waits too long, you know, and here the poor kohanim have been still holding up their hands and so on, waiting, you know. So.
That's why they do it so fast.
Well, they should immediately say, the minute he says sim shalom, then at that point, you know, they can relax, okay? But prior to saying it, it doesn't mean that they have to wait till the end of the bracha. But they have to wait until at least he says sim shalom, okay? It says asher yasro, until he begins, right? Sim shalom. The yenon rashaim, likewise, they're not permitted lakar aglehem, but lele, they're not allowed to literally uproot their feet and to walk down from the bima ad sheyigmosh letzibur sim shalom, before the chazan finishes saying sim shalom. In other words, okay, they have to wait through the entire sim shalom and then first they can go down and so on. Now of course in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and the Musaf, you know, we add a little bit too, because we're saying ayom tam seinu and so on, so they have to be up there all that time until finally, you know, he's ready and he says the kaddish shalom afterwards. Okay. Okay, now since we were talking, yeah, and he another thing that he says, Omer Rav Zeira, Omer Rav Chisda, he says, Eina tzur rashein lanos omein, people are not allowed to answer omein to any of the brachas, ad shetichle bracha mipi hakorei, right? Until, before the bracha is completed from the mouth of the person who is reading. Now, of course, this applies already not just to the Birkas Kohanim, but applies to any bracha. I mean, as Arthur mentioned before, for any bracha. if you hear a bracha being recited in public, you should say Amen, right? And you have to hear the entire thing before you say Amen. Don't jump in the middle and say Amen. Okay. Now, the Yain HaKarei Rashai Lekros Batorah Ad Sheyichlo Amen Pi HaTzibur. Now, this applies now to the reading of the Torah. That in the reading of the Torah, we have a likewise, a similar thing, that the person who is reading is not permitted to begin reading the Torah until the people have answered Amen. Naturally, to what? The bracha that we recite before the reading of the Torah. You know, Asher Bachabonu Mekolo Amim, and so on. So that he's not allowed to begin reading before the people have answered Amen to the bracha. Of course, by the same token, I want to say right now, when people have aliyahs, they should mumble to themselves in a bracha so that nobody can hear it. The idea is actually that whoever goes up to recite the bracha over the Torah should say it loud enough so that everybody can participate. This is why we have Baruch Hu Asar Hashem Amvorach, which is an invitation to everybody to join in the bracha. Yeah,
but everybody
and so on.
That should be quiet enough so they can hear it.
Right, right, absolutely correct. Right, right, absolutely so.
And they have to participate by responding Amen.
Yes.
Any
problem,
at least not one person answers
yeah.
Amen is a problem of a Torah.
Right.
Somebody has to answer Amen.
Yeah.
Unless you need something.
All right. Now, the next din refers to the practice that used to exist until maybe about 1,000 years ago or so, when every time that they read a pasuk in the Torah, they would then read the Targum, in other words, the Aramaic translation of the same pasuk. Okay? And the person who was doing it was called the Metargem, the person who is reciting the Aramaic translation. Okay? So this then now is V'yein ha-Metargem Rashai la-Haschil b'Targum, that the person who is reciting the Targum is not permitted to begin reciting the translation of the pasuk before the person who is reading from the Torah has recited the Pasuk in Hebrew. Then you have the reading. But you have to first hear the entire Pasuk before you translate. In other words, it wasn't, let's say, that, you know, let's say, Vayomer in an Aramaic would be Va'amar. So that he would say, you know, let's say the person would say Vayomer and this one would say Va'amar. No. You have to first listen Vayomer Hashem Moshe Lemor, and then of course you'd say, right, Va'amar Hashem Moshe Lemor, or whatever it may be, or Malel Hashem Moshe, and so on. You know. Of course, in Aramaic you have different words also that mean to say, to speak, and so on and so forth. Okay. And the Yena Kore Rashai Lahaschil B'Posik Echod Achir Targum Piyam Targem. But likewise, it's a reciprocal relationship, namely that the person reading the Pasuk from the Sefer Torah is not allowed to begin reading the Pasuk before the person who is saying the Targum of the previous one has completed reciting what the Targum is. Okay? Omer Rabbi Tanchum, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Tanchum said in the name of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, he said, Hamaftir ben Novi tzor sheyikra b'Torah techila. He says, if a person reads a Haftorah, okay? And of course, we're are all the Haftorahs located? The answer is that they come from the section that we call Nevi'im, literally the prophets. It's an all-inclusive name, because by Nevi'im we include such historical books as, for example, Yehoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel Aleph and Beis, Malachim Aleph and Beis, right? And then those that really bear names of prophets, such as, you know, Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, Hezkel, etc., Amos, Micha, you name it. So, okay? So, Haftorahs are taken from this part of the Tanakh, this part of the Bible. Okay? So, again, you don't begin to recite a selection that we call a Haftorah before what? Before the fact that you've also had to have a section read from the Torah. So that this is the reason why, for example, on an ordinary Shabbos, you see that the last verses of the Torah reading are marked with the word Maftir, okay? Which means that this is where we begin reading that selection. Now, again, correctly, And unfortunately, I've seen, I don't want to mention him, Reverend Abramson, Olav Shalom, once had occasion to hear him. And to him, Mokhtar was just another aliyah, one of the seven aliyahs, which of course is wrong. Because the Mokhtar has to be in addition to the seven aliyahs. As a matter of fact, what do we do? First we write, and we also recite a Chatzi Kaddish beforehand to mark that this is the completion of the Torah section, and then we read those verses that we call Mokhtar, which is the correct procedure, okay? Or if it is a special occasion, as for example on the festivals or Rosh Chodesh, let's say even Mokhtar Chodesh and so on, you know, we have Chanukah, Purim, we know that, but you know, we have the four special Shabbos and the Arba Parshios and so on and so forth, right? So on those occasions we have a separate reading from the second Sefer Torah. Okay? So who gets that reading? Of course the answer is the person who was called up to Mokhtar. That's the aliyah assigned to him. But it's in addition to the regular section of the Torah that has to be read before you proceed with Mokhtar. So the Mokhtar is an addition, it's not to substitute for something else. Okay? Yeah, that's correct.
Except there's one set over
there. Yeah, well, we have a few problem Shabbos and like that. But normally, our procedure, right. I mean, it's a procedure that I have over here in the shul, that not to begin, Achron at Mokhtar. Right. You have to begin before. Make sure that there's at least one or two psukim, whatever it may be, beforehand, to can possibly do it. Okay? Goldie, did you have a question?
No, I just said my husband's name. I never thought that.
Oh, Nechemia. Tanchum, right, of course. Right, yes. Yeah, right. All right. Now, the Omar Rabbi Tanchum, there he is. Rabbi Tanchum said, Omar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, in the name of Yoshua ben Levi, said, Einam after Rashai lahaftir ben Ovi Yad Shili Golel Sefer Torah. Another thing he says, that the person who is reading the Haftorah not allowed to begin before the Sefer Torah has been wrapped up. Glilla, okay? The reason being, it's not mentioned here, but Rashi explains. I mean, that's the reason being because we want that even the people who are engaged in what we call Hagbin Glilla should also be able to hear the entire Haftorah. If you're going to start before then they won't hear it because they'll be busy doing what they're doing and they won't be paying attention to the Haftorah itself. So that's why you have to wait. The Omer Rabbi Tanchum of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, and another statement made by Rabbi Tanchum in the name of Shua ben Levi, says, Ein shliach tzibur rashai lahafshit es hatevo bat tzibur b'pnei kvod tzibur. Now this is an interesting din over here. It's a little bit different from the situation that we have. Okay? What we find is that in ancient times they didn't have in the average shul, let's say storage areas or something like that. So first of all, they wanted to decorate the Aron Kodesh, so they would put special hangings over there. But in order to make sure that Ganovim or that the weather or that, because you know, shuls also very often had no roofs in those days. I've been in Eretz Yisrael in shuls where there was no roof at all. Okay? It rained very rarely, so therefore they built it that way. Okay? Save them the expense of building a roof over it. Okay. But in order to preserve these hangings, you know, like it's sort of like the parochas that we have, in order to do it, so after the davening was over, they would take them down, store them away, and then put them up again for the next service. Okay? So again, what he's saying over here, what Thompson is saying, the name of Shimon Levi, is that the Shliach Tzibur, in other words, the chazan whose job it was to take charge of this, is not allowed to strip the ark in public, in the tzibur, in other words, while there's still a congregation present. Why make for that tzibur? Because this is considered like an insult, a mark of lack of respect for the congregation. Yeah. Should wait. The Omer Rabbi Tanchum, Omer Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, another statement that he said, Ein ha-tzibur ha-shoyin l'tzeis ad shenotel sefer Torah yonich b'mekomo. That the congregation is not allowed to leave the shul until the Sefer Torah has been removed and placed wherever it's going to be placed. again, because they didn't leave it in the ark. Instead, they would take it home to somebody who was given the honor of being in charge of taking care of the Sefer Torah, where he had presumably, you know, a proper
place for it,
and so on. We would take good care of it, and so on. And then, when they would daven, they would take it out and bring it in. Of course, I've been to Minyanim where you see a similar thing. For example, in Brooklyn, my son studies, he goes to a shiur with a very well known rav in the area. It's called Rabbi Shlomo Kalibach. Happened to be a cousin to, you know, the Shlomo Kalibach, the one who passed away, okay? The first cousin, or second cousin, or something or other. So he has the same name. On Yontev and sometimes Shabbos, right. He used to be the Mashiach in Chaim Berlin, and then because of politics.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he came from Germany and still has, you know, all kinds of German Menhagim over there. So correct, you know, Menhagim like Frankfurt am Main and so on and so forth.
Whatever it is.
The reason I say it is because some of the Sidurim come from Breuers.
The Sidurim could be the same,
right.
But some of them
look like, you know, it's the same Nusach that you find in the Breuers synagogue. Okay. So at any rate, he has an Oren Kadosh there that when they make a minyan, they do it, but he doesn't keep it there. He has a different part of the house. He has a Sefer Torah, maybe he has it under lock and key or something like that, you see.
And then,
today it's very common. Yeah. So, you know, when it comes time to read the Sefer Torah, somebody brings in the Sefer Torah, and then when it comes, you know, to the Choyomar, so they simply take it out and then they continue with the davening. Yeah. So, again, he says that the congregation is not permitted to leave before the Sefer Torah has been removed from the, you know, from the reading desk and returned to its place. Shmuel Omar, Shmuel said, Ad Sheyetze, that the congregation is not allowed to leave before the Chazan leaves. Or whoever it is who is in charge. Obviously, this means the person who is in charge of taking the Torah, you know, back to its place. He says, well, Opliga, and there's no contradiction between these. He says, if there is another entrance, so that when the person leaves here, then they can go out there. But otherwise, it would be a mark of disrespect if they run out before the Sefer Torah goes out. Okay. Omar Rava. Rava said, Barahina Asperoli, he explained it to me that it's based upon a verse, or you could find a, as we would say, a remez, a hint of this, in a verse which says, Acharei Adashem Elokeichem Teilecho. Literally, of course, it means, you are to go after the Lord your God. So, in other words, the Torah, which represents the Lord God,
the
his words, right, he goes first, and then after that, you go. Okay? All right, getting back to the Birkas Kohanim, okay? Bizman Sheh Kohanim Mevorchim Es Ha'am, at the time when the Kohanim bless the people, Mahin Omrim, what do they say? So Omer Rab Zera said, Omer Rab Chista, again named Rab Chista, he said, Borchu Ad Hashem Alochov, Yiborei Koach, etc., etc. In other words, bless the Lord. O angels, bless you. Bless the Lord, you who are Gibori Koach, who are the mighty ones. Baruch HaRashem Kol Tzvo'ov, Mishosav Osir Etzoino. Bless the Lord, all his hosts who serve him and who fulfill his will. And then Baruch HaRashem Kol Ma'atzov, and bless him, all ye works of God's works, B'chol Mekomis B'mshalto, wherever his rule extends. In other words, what he is saying over here, and this is not the din, not everything that we find over here became the actual din, understand? But he's saying that what they did, that notice how many verses do they quote?
Three.
So the idea being, and by the way, these three verses, all of them come from towards the end of Psalm 103, Kuf Gimel. You'll find these verses, okay? So what they're saying, what he is saying is that, you know, they say Verecha Hashem Yishmerecha, right? And the congregation is responding Amen. But in the meantime, they are thinking this verse of blessing to God, right? Because they are also Gibore Koach, right? They are fulfilling his words and they are serving as if they were Malochim, right? In this particular case, because they are, what is the Malach's function? Malach's function is to carry out a mission of God, so that's what they are doing. So,
well,
therefore, for each one, yeah.
You hear a song,
yeah.
You don't say Amen.
But that's because we're not having the actual Birkas Kohanim. We're only substituting. We say, bless us even as the Kohanim would recite, even as Aaron is. So that's why we say, can you hear that song? I do have to tell you that the Sfardim have a different custom that they say your name. But it's not the Ashkenazi custom.
Right.
Huh? No. What? No. The Banish Shalom is a different story. This we had in the Gemara in Brochus. It's mentioned over there that, you know, if you're suffering and so on and so forth, you have bad chaloimus and so on, then in that case, you say that, right, yeah. But here what he's saying is that the Kohanim himself recited psukim after each time that they said, so they recited a pasuk. They recited a pasuk while the congregation was saying, Amen. This is what he says. As I said, this is not the din. This is only what he says they should be doing, okay? So, it says this is what they did when, every day when they went up to Duchen. The Mutzvei de Shabbato, but if it's Mutzvei service of Shabbos, Mahein Omrim, so they add already something. So what did they add? Omer Aviasi, they added the following. Shir HaMahalos, Hinei Boruch HaRishem, Sad Hashem Kol Adei Hashem, this happens to be the end of the Shir HaMali section, in other words, Psalm 134, if you'll take a look, it's a very short one, you want to see. Because it'll also, okay, let's take one look over here in the Siddur and you'll find it. Okay. Right, we'll find it on page 542. Yeah, page 542. Very last psalm on the page. They brought Hashem, call out the Hashem, right? Bless you, the Lord, all who serve the Lord, right? Om Nubes Hashem, Lelos, who stand in the house of the Lord by Lelos at night. Okay. Then, what is the next pasuk? So, Yudechem Kodesh, you go with Sod Hashem, right? And then, what's the next pasuk? Next pasuk says, Yivarecha Hashem, and see the Sukh Moritz. But this is not what he said. If you take a look, you say, it's written, yeah. Which happens to be at the end of, if we would take a look at the Shabbos morning service, we would find that Pasuk, it's just before the big Hoidim. Show you where you find it. Okay. Okay, top of page 384. Okay. Baruch Hashem Etzion, Sheikhen Yerushalayim, Hallelujah. Right? Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, he who dwells in Jerusalem. In other words, may God bless you from Zion and Jerusalem. Okay? Top of page 384. See, over there. So the question is, how come he started with two psukim of Psalm? What did we say? It was 134, right? And all of a sudden, he winds up with Psalm, with the ending of Psalm 138. You understand? So how come? So it says, "V'leim anami b'yechrecha Hashem etziyon, dichsevahu in yono," which, after all, is written in the same place. You know where the first pesukim came from. So Amar Yehuda b'reid Reb Shimon ben Pazi. So he says, "B'tov shehisra b'yechosav shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu misav b'yechosav shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu." Because he began with the brachas praising God, so therefore he includes also with brachas praising God, or blessings that God bestows. That's the idea, all right? All right, so at any rate, but as I say, we don't say it, okay? But this is what he felt should be done. It was proper for the Kohanim. Okay. B'minchosat ha'aniso. Now, when do we duchen? We duchen, first of all, in morning, to shacharis, okay? if there is Musaf, then Duchning should also take place in Musaf as well. But as a normal rule, there is no Duchning at Mincha time. Why isn't there Duchning at Mincha time? Because one of the rules that we will discover in connection with Birkas Kohanim is that the Kohen is not allowed to drink any intoxicating liquor prior to going up the bench. Not allowed to drink wine, not allowed to drink whiskey or anything like that before he goes up to bless the people. Okay? Now,
how would he say Kiddush then?
So, if you first daven, you finish davening, then you can make Kiddush.
Right, right.
Okay, I didn't say that they abstain. Well, I said they're not allowed to do it before.
No, but that's why you wouldn't do it after. At that point.
Yeah, all right. So that's why you don't have duchening for mincha, because the presumption is, you know, that they've eaten, they've drunk, and so on and so forth.
Right.
Okay. All right. But what if it's a fast day when they're not allowed to eat or drink? Then in that particular case, there is a custom to recite Birkas Kohanim to mincha. Okay? Various rules concerning that too. But at any rate, there's no question that this was the practice. Okay? So b'minchoset ha'niso, at mincha time of a fast day, my amri, then what psukim did they say? So when Rav Acha bar Yaakov, they said, ima v'neinu onu vonu, if our sins testify against us, adishem ha'seh l'man shmecha, then, O Lord, do it for the sake of your name. In other words, forgive us for the sake of your name. Okay? And what was the second pasuk? The second pasuk was from Sefer Yirmiyahu, and he said, "Mikvei Yisrael Moshiyo b'Yisara, O you who are the hope of Israel, Savior in time of trouble, Lo Moshiyeh Kagir Ba'oritz." Right? Kol Lo Moshiyeh Kish Nirdam Kagibor Lo Yuchaloshir. Why do you simply make yourself like a stranger to us? Why do you sit by idly and not save us? Kind of a shvera zach, you know, to say to Rabbeinu Shalom, but of course it's something we can understand, because we all, at times or other, have felt the same thing. Why? Okay. So these are the pesukim that he says they would say, because the idea being, you know, help us, we are helpless, so help us in the time, even though we have sinned. Okay. B'ne'ilu de Yom HaKippur, right? B'ne'ilu of Yom Kippur, my Omar, then what did the Kohanim say at the time when they took him? So Omar Marzutur, Amir Dobem Masniso. So Marzutur said, and there are those who say that it's in a Baraisa. It says, Hinei Kichein Yivorach Gover Yerei Hashem. First Pesuk would be, thus shall a person be blessed who fears the Lord. Yivorach Echad Hashem Etzion Erei B'tu Shalayim Kol Yichem Echo. May the Lord bless you out of Zion. May you see the welfare or the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life, and then Urevonim Lovadechashon Israel, and may you see children born unto your children, may there be peace over Israel. This again is the ending of Psalm 128. Okay. Okay. Heichan Omron, at what point do the Kohanim say it? So there's a difference of opinion. Here the opinion is Rabbi Yosef Omar. Rabbi Yosef says, Ben Kol Brocha Vrocha. He says, in between each of the sections, as we said before. In other words, between Yivarech Hashem Yishmerecha, and then the next one, Yirat Hashem Bona Bebet Bebnecha, etc. Okay? But Rav Sheshes, Omar, he says, no. He says, it's Ba'atzkoras Hashem. He says, when they mention God's name, you know, Varechacha Hashem, the Yishmerecha, so at the time, so that's what they should be thinking to themselves. Okay? Pligei Bo Rav Mori Rav Zvid. There's a difference of opinion between Rav Mori and Rav Zvid. Chadoma psuko lekove psuko. One of them says that for every one of the verses of Birkas Kohanim, this is when they say these special verses. The Chadomar, and another one says, are called psuko omaluhu lechuvu. For each individual one, they say all three psukim at that time. Omer Abkir Barabo. He says, Kol ha'omron b'gvulon enu elator. He says, if anybody says this, in other words, if any Kohanim recite these pesukim outside of the Beis HaMikdash, they're mistaken. In other words, no Ken should recite it if he's not present and if he's not actually duchening in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? Umar Abchanina bar Papa. Abchanina bar Papa said, Teda de b'mikdash nami lemi boi lemi. He says, look, even the Beis HaMikdash, they also should recite these psukim. So that's why these psukim never made it to the prayer book. Okay? I mean, they made it as psalms, but they didn't make it that the Kohanim should recite these things. Is there any servant who, when he is blessed or when he is, let's say he's praised, he doesn't pay attention? Of course he has to pay attention. Says on the contrary, I say that even outside of the Beis HaMikdash it should also be said, is there any servant who is praised by his master and he's not happy? You have to show your happiness, you have to show your gratefulness to whenever you hear words of praise and words of blessing directed to you. Okay. Alright, I'm going to stop at this point to change spread, and next week we will continue over here, and Hashem. Okay, next Wednesday night we'll still continue and we'll meet at my usual time, approximately 7:30, although actually we'll be davening Mincha a few minutes earlier. Yeah, we'll be davening at 10 to 7 next week. Alright, so maybe we'll start a little bit earlier next week. Pardon me? Yeah, provide everybody's here, of course. Okay, we left off on Daf Mem in Sota. Tonight is the 16th of September, and last week towards the end what we were discussing was the fact that certain psukim were recommended to be recited by the Kohanim and others by the people during the time that the Birkas Kohanim was recited. There was a difference of opinion as to whether it was to be done verse by verse. In other words, for the first Yivrech Hashem Yishmecha, you say one group of things, and then when you say Yor Hashem Punvelech Yimneko, then there's another one, and finally after the Yosim L'choshom, there's another one after that for three. Another said that you do the entire batch each time. Well, it's a difference of opinion. But then we saw that there was opposition to it, so, you know, it was back and forth. One said, even in the Beis HaMikdash it wasn't said, and another one said, not only, it was said in the Beis HaMikdash, but not outside, and others say that it was not said outside, and there's a whole argument about it. But the basic idea about the whole thing is the fact, as we saw, that the idea of gratitude to God should be expressed, because after all, we are begging God that He should send His blessing through the Kohanim to us, and so therefore we want to show our gratitude to God for the blessing that He sends unto us. Okay. So, getting on with the new inyan that we continue right now. Yeah. Alright, we're up to, I'll tell you where we are right now. We are down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Okay, the end of the 15th line. Beginning of the 16th line. Alright. Omer Rababohu, Rababohu said, Meirei Shava Amina Elohu, right? At first I used to say all these extra Pesukim, but Kevon de Chazin Olei Le Rabbi Abba de Min Akob, but when I saw that Rabbi Abba, who came from Akob, to Lo Omer Elohu, who did not say these words of blessing, you know, these Pesukim, so Ananame Lo Amina Elohu, so I also don't say it anymore. Okay? Now, of course, we did discuss last time, too, the fact that in Sidurim and Mahzorim, they do have Sukkim listed over there. Yet, the general feeling is, A, don't say it aloud during the time that the Kohanim are reciting the Bracha, and B, maybe it shouldn't be recited at all.
Not only is it
Pohanim, right,
but you
right.
Say, Hashem Shmurech.
Yeah.
But during the time the Kohanim say anything.
Would you repeat that, Arthur?
The psukim between.
Yeah, right.
When the Kohanim say there.
Yeah, you're right, right.
The psukim shouldn't be said.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
You said Bracha before.
Huh?
Oh, you.
No, definitely not. There's a question about it, and even though it's printed in the Siddur Mahzorim, but nevertheless, the general feeling today is that they should not be recited because they are breaking into the concentration that we should have on the Bracha that the Kohanim are reciting when they bless us. Okay? There are, however, other things which are said in between. While the Kohanim are, you know, saying Hashem Yishmorecha, then the Gemara right, and then the singing. So at that time there is a bracha in which, not a bracha, there is a prayer in which you say, "The Beinu Shalolim, if I had any kind of evil dreams, Kalom Yisroim," and so on and so forth, that they should be turned into blessings and so on. So the Gemara that we find in brachas, for example, okay, and. Then, of course, once, you know, at the end, so there are also the wrong kinds of things that are recited over there. Some say, some don't. But what is recommended, anyway, is to say Adib Amorim Shechem Begura, because this already, again, we find that the Talmud itself recommends this is appeared to be recited after the Birkas Kohanim. Okay? All right. Now, since we're already mentioning the fact that Rabbi Abohu said that I don't say it anymore, right? Because I saw that Rabbi Abba de Minako, you know, who came from Monaco, came from Akko, didn't say it, and so therefore I think that this is the correct procedure not to recite those psukim that we saw over there. So he stopped saying it. Okay. Now he gives another story about it. Okay. Says Omar Rabbi Abahu, another thing that Rabbi Abahu says, he says, Meiresh, at the beginning he says, Hava Amina, I used to say, okay, now another statement that he made, he says that at first I used to call myself Anvasunasa, yeah, right? In other words, he says, I am a humble person. Reminds me of a joke they used to tell. Two Chassidim were sitting around in the Beis Medrash talking about the merits of this, you know, their respective verbatim, right? The Rebbe, okay. So this one says, our Rebbe is so wonderful, he does all kinds of miracles. The other one said yes, and of course he's such a great person, and etc., etc. And they're praising him, and then the Rebbe says to them, "And about my humility, I haven't heard a word." So this is humility. He says, "I am a humble man." Okay. He came in the Chazino Lay to Rabbi Yabo de Minako. However, when I saw Rabbi Yabo from Akko, the Omar Ihu, that he said, Chatamom, he gave one reason, right? The Yoma Amore Chatamom, but his Amora, now I have to explain to you, what is the Amora? The Amora is the person, again, who, in those days, the Rebbe didn't have a loudspeaker system, okay? And so if he had, you know, a large auditorium, a lot of people, so he would have somebody, you know, who was, yeah, right. In this case, he's not exactly interpreting. Sometimes he was, but he's right. He had a strong voice, and he was saying aloud, you know, what the Rebbe said. No, so the Rebbe here, he says one thing, and along comes this Amora of his, who should be saying what the Rebbe is saying. Instead, he gives an interpretation of his own. Okay? This is what the situation is at this moment, right? Right? It says, he gave Chatamo, he gave one reason, and the Amora gave a different one. The law copied, and yet, you know what? He did not become angry. You know, this is Rabbi Abba the Minako. He did not become angry. So, Amino, then I said, Lad in the son of Ano. He says, I'm not. In that case, I said to myself, I'm not a humble man. The other guy is a humble man, right? Umayim is from the say, the Rabbi Abohu. So, what is the. Okay. So, at any rate, first of all, he compares himself and he says that the other person, the fact that he heard that his Amora doesn't even give over the message, and yet he didn't become angry with him. So that shows that he was a humble man, because he did not want to insult the Amora by saying, what are you saying, and this and that, and so on. All right. So now the question is, okay, Rabbi Abu declares that he himself is also a humble man, right? So now they want to know, Umayim is a Nisi to Rabbi Abu. So tell me, in that case, what is the humility as far as Rabbi Abahu is concerned? What is his humility? So the answer is, the Amr Lo Devisu, the Amore, the Rabbi Abahu, the Rabbi Abahu. Okay. The Devisu means the wife. Okay? You recognize, I mean, it comes to the word bias, right? Because as the Mishnah says in Yoma, you know, the Torah says that in connection with the high priest, that is v'chiper ba'adol da'ad beso, he has to make atonement for himself and for his household, and they say beso tish, okay? That means his wife, because no man has a family without a wife, okay? So that she's very important, so she's the Vissai. All right.
Times have changed.
Right. All right, so at any rate, what was then the humility that he practiced, shall we say? So he says, the wife of his Amora, the Rabbi Abahu's Amora in this case, not you know, Rabbi talking about a different one, okay? The wife of his Amora said to Rabbi Abahu's wife, Ho didon le tzorach le didok. He says, you know what? My husband doesn't need your husband. In other words, my husband, the Amora, he's not really dependent upon him. He could be a great Talmud Chacham in his own right, and so on and so forth. Understand? So he doesn't need yours. And the fact that he'll, let's say, stoop or stand up in his presence, this is only Yikorah Ba'almahu, the Avit, lay. That's only because he's being very polite, and so he's showing him honor in general. But it's not because he feels that, you know, that Rabbi Abahu is a greater scholar. So, Azlo Devisu, the Amalei Rabbi Abahu. So, Rabbi Abahu's wife heard his Amorid's wife saying these things. She went and she told her husband, she told Rabbi Abahu. Amalah, so he said to her, my napkilah, so tell me, what difference does it make to you, right? What difference does it make to you? Mino, from this situation, why? Because mini umine yiskales iloy. Because whether it's the Torah that I am saying or whether it's the Torah that he is saying, it's not going to make any difference, because in any case, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is glorified by the reciting of Torah. And that's the important point, and never mind, you know, personal honor and things like that and so on. It's more important to see that God's name is praised in this world. Vesu, in another case, Rabbi Abahu, Ibn Rabbanan Alei Leman Yebereshe, says, Rabbi Abahu, you know, was a great scholar, and so the rabbis wanted to name him as the head of the yeshiva. Okay? Kevin the Chazil Rababo the Nako. So then, when he saw Rababo, you know, Rabbi Abahu from Akko, the Nefishalei Balei Chovos, who had all kinds of people to whom he owed money and who were pressing him, you know, for repayment and so on. In other words, you could see that he was an Oraman, he was a great scholar, but still an Oraman, and he owed money to everybody. So, Omaluhu, so he said to them, you know what? Iko Rabba, there's an even greater scholar, namely, right? Meaning, you know, Rabbi Abba of the from Akko, and he got him the position. Alright? Another story. Rabbi Abahu over Rabbi Chia Barabo Iklahu Aswa. Rabbi Abahu and Rabbi Chia Barabo, they happened to come to the same town, same place. So Rabbi Abahu Dorash Bagadato, Rabbi Chia Barabo Dorash Bishmato. So each of them was called upon to expound Torah, okay? So Rabbi Chia Barabo, Rabbi Abahu, he gave a drasha with, you know, based upon Agada. In other words, you know, all these beautiful stories and everything else and so on. Not halacha, okay? Rabbi Chia Barabo, on the other hand, Dorash Bishmato, he gave a shir in halacha, okay? So Shvakuchu Kolei Albo and the Rabbi Chiya Barabo. So the result was that everybody left Rabbi Chiya Barabo, the one who was talking halacha, right? They also legabi the Rabbi Bohu, and they went to Rabbi Bohu's Shia, the one in Agada. So Cholash Date. So as a result, of course, Rabbi Chiya Barabo felt very bad. So Rabbi Bohu said to him, "Emshal lechol mashal." He says, "I'll give you a mashal, an example. L'ma adovet doyme, what can we compare this situation?" He says, "L'shnei b'nei odom, compare it to, there are two people, echad meicher avonim tovos, one of them is selling precious jewels, right? V'yechad meicher minei sitkis, and the other one is selling all kinds of what we would call sundries." Yeah, needles and things like that, thread, needles, household utensils and things like that, okay? Ami Kopsin, who is the one who's going to get to trade? The answer is, Lo al zeh shemeichem in hisidkis. The answer is, right, isn't it the one who sells, you know, these little household things? They don't cost much, they're things that you need around the house and things like that. He's going to get all the trade. But of course, how is he making the other one feel better? What does he say about the one who is derish and halacha? What is the comparison? The comparison is to the person who is selling precious stones, precious jewels. You see. In other words, the halacha, these are the precious jewels.
Right.
The agoda, this is the popular thing that the people go in for, right? Yeah. Kol Yoma, every day, Abba Malava, Rabbi Chiya Barabba, Rabbi Abohu. Rabbi Chiya Barabba would accompany Rabbi Abohu ad Ushbizei, to the place where he was a boarder, or place where he was dwelling, okay? Mishum Yikorad, the Vekesar. Because, in order to show respect to the royal household, now the royal household means, you know, the Roman government, because obviously, Rabbi Abohu happened to be a favorite of the Roman government. Okay? So, Hayu Yobo, Ilve Rabbi Abohu, the Rabbi Chiya Barabba. Certain day, just the opposite. Rabbi Abohu accompanied Rabbi Chiya Barabba, Adashpise, to, you know, his dwelling place. Vafilo Hochi, lo yitusiv date mine. But nevertheless, you can see that Rabbi Chiya Barabba never was satisfied. He always felt insulted by the fact that what had happened, that the other one had attracted the crowd and he himself had not attracted the crowd. So even though he showed them the honor and everything else, but nevertheless, he never actually became reconciled to the idea. All right, now we come to something else. It'd be nice, you know, if there were periods in the text, and there's no such thing.
No.
No periods, no commas, no question marks. You have to learn how to read this and to figure out from the rhythm of the Gemara, you know, whether it's a statement or what and so on. Because this now, they're getting back to the business. Okay, we know, as we already said, that where is Birkas Kohanim come in? It comes in after Moed Menachtulah, right? First we said, we learned that Ritzei is called Avoda, right? Because it's the blessing in which we pray to God, you know, in the days of the temple, was thanking God for the service on the Beis HaMikdash, and now, of course, we pray that, you know, V'choshev is Avoda L'Yuvisecha. We pray to God that the service of, you know, serving Him in the Beis HaMikdash will be restored, okay? So, at this point, we learned that the Kohanim have to do what? They have to move and go up to the Bima in order to do it. Okay. Then, of course, the chazan, the congregation, recite Modim Anachnuloch, right? And after that comes the Birkas Kohanim, and finally, after that, we learned, you know, comes the blessing Sim Shalom, blessing for peace. Okay? Because, after all, what is the final blessing? Right? The Yosim Lecho Shalom, which includes everything that's gone before, so to speak. Okay. So, what should the congregation say when the chazan says modem? This is the question over here. Of course, we know the answer because we have a prayer book. But if you'll take a prayer book right now, maybe we'll give them out, you'll see how it fits in over here. All right? Take a moment now to distribute Siddurim. won't take us long.
We'll get there.
Yeah, thank you, Sam. Thank you. Okay. Okay. Now, I tell you where to turn. We'll turn to modem in the chakras simply because it's the biggest, the print is bigger. Okay. Yeah, page 63 over here. Okay. First of all, I have to say something even before we begin. If you'll read the instruction over here, it says when saying modem, bend the knee, and bow, this, of course, we learned in the Gemara Brochus that at when we start the Shmona Esrei, you know, with the bracha of Avos, you know, which we pray to God, who is not going to say no, and so on, you do it to Baruch Ato at the beginning of the bracha, and then you do it Baruch Ato at Hashem, again, Avram, and again to Baruch Ato, you have to bend your knees and bow your head. Okay. Where else? The answer is in modem, not in any other place. Okay. Those are the only places in the Shmona Esrei, at the beginning of modem and at the conclusion of modem. Okay. This is where we bend the knees and bow the head. Now, when the Chazan repeats the Shmona Esrei, the correct procedure is to say aloud the entire Modim Anachnu Lach for the Chazan. Okay? Now, this is why it says the congregation in undertone what we have in the left hand column. Okay? Because the correct procedure is that. The reason I mention it is because a lot of people, when they get up to daven for the Yomid, you don't hear. Or maybe they'll say the Modim Anachnu Lach and you don't hear anything else until, I don't know, to the end. Whatever it may be, but that's not the correct procedure. It should be said in its entirety out loud. Okay? Alright. But nevertheless, here, as we'll see, they ask the question. Okay? Bizman Shashliach Tzibur Omim Modim, right? At the time when the Shliach Tzibur, of course, that's the person who's conducting the service, right? Leading the service, when he says Modim, what should the people say? So the answer is different opinions. Omer Rav, so Rav's opinion is that what they should say is Modim Anachnu Loch Al Hashem Elokeinu Al Shonu Modim Loch, which reads very funny if we translate it word for word into the English. He said, we give thanks unto you, O Lord, our God, that we give thanks to you. So the question is, how do you understand this?
That we're able to give thanks.
Oh, that's exactly what Rashi says. Very good, Helen. You and Rashi are on the same wavelength. Okay. That we thank God that we're able to give thanks to you. This is exactly how Rashi understands it. All right, so that was Rav's opinion. Ushmuel Omar, and what does Shmuel say? He said, Elohei Chol Bosor, right? You who are the God of all, literally of all flesh, in other words, of all living beings, right? Al She'onu Modim Loch. For this reason, we give thanks unto you. Okay? Rabbi Simai Omer, he said, what we should say is as follows. Yotzreinu Yotze Bereishis, our Creator, you who created the world at the beginning of existence, Al She'onu Modim Loch. For these things we thank thee. Okay? Nahardai, the people who lived in Nahardaa. Nahardaa was where Rav had his. Yeah, Rav had his academy over there. Right, right. And. It was Shmuel. Shmuel who had his academy in Nahardaa. And Rav went to Surah. Yeah. All right. At any rate, the people of that town, you know, were being influenced by the great yeshiva that existed over there. So Amrei Mishmei, they said in the name of the Rabbi Simai, in the name of Rabbi Simai, this is what they said. They said, Brachos Vehodolos, blessings and thanksgiving, the Shimcha Godol, to your great name, Al Shechi Yisonu V'Kiyam Tonu, for the fact that you have kept us alive and has sustained us, right? Al She'onu Modim Loch, for these things we give thanks unto you. Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Misayim bo Ahochi. He would conclude the bracha the following way. Kein techayenu, so just as you have, in other words, Shech Zionovik Ki Antonu, you know, the previous phrase, right, just you kept us alive and sustained us, so Kein techayenu is choneinu, right? So may you continue to keep us alive and be gracious unto us, Viskapzenu, and gather us together, and gather all those of us who are exiled unto your holy precincts, in other words, to the Beis HaMikdash, Nishmar Chukecha, so that we may observe your statutes, and to do your will, Belevav Shalem, with a complete heart, wholeheartedly, right? Al She'onu Modim Lach, and for these things we give thanks unto you. Omer Rapapa, so Rapapa says, Hilkoch, if that's the case, Nemrinu Lekule, so let's say all of these thoughts. So now we take a look over here and we see how, in reality, practically every idea that we mentioned over here was incorporated into one thing, right? Modim Anachnu Lach, we give thanks to you, Shatu Hashem Lekam Seinu, right? You are okay, Kol Boso, that's one of the things suggested. Yotzvenu Yotzibarachus, another thing that was suggested. Brochus for Yidon Sushim Hagul Vahagodosh, right? Al Shechson in Kam Tonu. And then what was added? Kain Tchayin is Kaimin, so Tom in Chachon, Shmokos of Necho, believe in love to the Sholem, right? And then Al Shanachdu Modim Lach. Okay. And now, what was added? The answer is the next few words over there. Okay? Omer HaPapa, so Omer HaBitzchok, this is a different idea. But at any rate, I simply want to say that therefore we add the phrase afterwards, Baruch Keil HaHodolos, blessed be God, who is the God unto whom all thanksgiving should be given. Right. All right. The reason I say that is because there's an interruption at this particular point, but as we see from the Siddur, that the Siddur has incorporated these various ideas that we've just mentioned. Okay. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak said, Le'olam tehei emas tzibur alecho. He says, you should always have respect for the congregation. Sha'arei kohanim, because look at the kohanim. Penehem klapei ha'om. They are facing the people, the achareihem, whereas their backs, or you can take a lower part of the anatomy, right, is, where is it? It's facing the Divine Presence. Naturally, where is the Divine Presence represented? It's represented in the Aron Kodesh. You understand? But instead of, let's say that the Kohanim should face the Divine Presence, instead, they face the people in order. So that, therefore, this shows the importance of having respect and fear and reverence for the community, for the congregation itself. Okay? Rab Nachman, Oma Mehoch. Rab Yitzchok said, he drew this example. Rab Nachman has another example, that, we should have respect for the congregation in which we daven. Very important, by the way, to try to daven with a minyan as much as possible, because tzibur is very important. Gemara says in Brochus that the prayers of the human being are answered better if you daven with a minyan than if you daven simply by yourself. Of course, I'm not talking where circumstances say you have to daven by yourself. Obviously, you do. But if it's at all possible to come to a minyan, then by all means, it's even more praiseworthy to do so. All right, so Rav Nachman gets it from a different passage. It says, "Vayokum haMelech David al Raglov," right? King David stood up on his feet, "Vayomer," and he said, "Shimouni achai b'yami." He said to them, "Listen to me, or hear me, my brothers and my nation." So the Gemara says, "Im achai, if you are my brothers." Lama Ami, then why do I have to add the word my people? Right? In other words, if every Jew is a brother to the king, then why do they have to say my nation? The Yim Ami, and if it only says my nation, so Lama Achai, then in that case, why do we need my brothers and my people? right? So Omar Rabbi Elazar, said, Omalahem David Israel. This is what David said to the people of Israel. He says, Im atem shomim li, if you listen unto me, then achai atem, then you are my brothers. But the yim lav, but if you don't listen to me, then ami atem, then you are my people, you are my nation, vadirode eschem b'makel, and I will rule over you with a stick. In other words, strong arm, exactly. Okay. Rabbanan amrei b'hocha. Rabbis, they gave a similar idea from the following. It says, the ein ha-kohanim rashayim la-loz b'sandaleihen l'duchem. It says, the kohanim are not allowed to go up to duchen wearing shoes. Because in those days they wore sandals, right? But nowadays, of course, the average kohen wears shoes. Now, the kohen is not allowed to go up to duchen wearing shoes. Okay? With the sneakers, I don't know. Kadima is the only place I've ever seen it done. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
Right, right. Normally, at kohanim, they take off their shoes and they stand in their stocking feet. That's it. Yeah.
I've seen
You've seen sneakers besides Kadima? Yeah. Okay. In Germany they did that? Yeah. Okay. Because, in shuls I've seen, even people come from Germany, but they don't. They duchen in their stocking. Right. Yeah. All right. So at any rate, but they should not be wearing shoes. Why not? It says, Zehu achas b'teisha takonei shehizken Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. It says that this is one of the nine takona. So takona is a ruling that is made, yes, in order to say, that's for the good of the community, but in many cases it's a prohibition, sometimes it's not. Okay, it all depends what the takona is. Okay, yes, unless your feet hurt. As a regular, yes, you should be wearing shoes during the yes, correct. No, that's not the reason. No, it's not the reason. We'll see in this moment what it is, okay? This is one of the rulings that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ordained, that the Kohanim should not go up to Duchen wearing their sandalim. Okay. Wearing their sandals or their shoes. My Tamil says, what is the reason? Lav mishum kotzibur. Isn't it because of the fact that it is in order to show respect for the congregation? Okay? So in other words, what he is implying at this particular point is that if the Kohen goes up to Duchen wearing his shoes, it's too ordinary a situation. It doesn't show enough respect for the congregation. Why? Because once you're with a minyan and you're davening together, it's a holy place. And what have we learned about Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu was also told in a holy place to take off, right? Shal ni alechem yavrich lecha, take off your shoes, ka mokim, mokim kodesh, right? It's a holy place, right? Yeah, you're right. Okay. This is the general idea, right? In other words, it would show, that it's a little too much. It's not enough respect. Okay.
Doesn't it come from the fact that at the Beis HaMikdash,
the Beis HaMikdash, correct,
in slander, so that you shouldn't see his feet. You shouldn't see, that's why he was slandered.
It's not only that, but the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim actually had to go barefoot.
But even then,
they had to go barefoot.
Even then, you shouldn't
see
the feet.
Yeah. This was required, that the feet actually had to touch
this is what Rashi says.
The floor of the Beis HaMikdash. Right. There's certain things. I mean, this the Kohanim, and in those days they had strict rules and regulations as to how they had to demean themselves on the basis.
You understand that this isn't the achos onto the mazbeah. This was before the Beis HaMikdash was also at a slant.
No. The Beis HaMikdash had a straight floor.
Right. So what
it was mostly was marble or something like that. But nevertheless, the Kohanim, once they entered within, the sanctified part of the Beis HaMikdash, they had to go in bare feet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's the diagonal come in? I don't understand.
No, what the author is saying is that the altar, they had to go up. Okay, they had to go up to the Mizbeach, but actually the Mizbeach was very high up.
It's high up.
But instead it had a ramp in order to go
instead
up.
Instead of steps.
That for feet,
right.
There's a different way.
Of course, the Torah says, V'lo saleh v'malo sal mizbechi, and you're not allowed to go up on steps.
So that you shouldn't.
Right, okay. So therefore they had a ramp instead that went up over there, and that's where they would bring up the korban, and that's where they would circle around the mizbeach and so on and sprinkle the blood and things like that. Yeah, well, that's called the kevesh.
If you learn the mission is a perfect order of workflow, proper workflow, everything goes in order, you don't go back and forth.
Yeah, right, correct. Yeah, right. You know, of course, if you would say Ezehu Mimkomen in the morning, you would see, that, all of our Kedesh, all of our Tzeveh, right, he goes up on the ramp, and he goes to the, there's like a walkway that surrounds the Mizbeach, right? Right, for the Kendroim is Mizrochim, Mizroch Tzefenis, Tzefenis Marovis, etc., etc. Okay, in other words, and has to go to each of the various corners, and there he has to, it depends. Some were sprinkled on all four, some were sprinkled on two opposite ones, some only required one sprinkling, and that was it. But it depended on the sacrifice. But nevertheless, that was the arrangement. Okay. All right. So we would say then that inasmuch as this is, even the shul is a mokum kodesh, and that maybe this is the reason why the kehanim are not allowed to go up with their shoes when they duchen. So Rav Ashi disagrees with the reason. He says the reason for it is different. He says, "Oh, Rav Ashi, loy hasam. It's there. That's not the reason." He says, "Shem nifzikon oratzui b'sandalo." The reason is that if, let's say, a shoelace or a lace in his sandal, would break, right? So the hodar azul miktarei, and then he's going to turn around and he's going to tie it up, to tie it, right, so that it'll stay together, right? So in that particular case, the Amre ben Grusha ben Chalutzahu, so people will say, that guy, he's not a real Kohen. He's a Kohen who is either the son of a divorced woman or the son of a Chalutza, it's a woman who had chalitza, had received chalitza. And in either case, he's probably a disqualified Kohen. So that for that reason, they don't do it. Okay. Now, the Mishnah says that there was a difference in the Birkat's Kohanim between the Beis HaMikdash and between outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, they say that when the Kohanim pronounce the Bracha, they do it in three different sentences, all right? And of course, at the end of each sentence, then what do? We say, Amen. Okay. But in Beis HaMikdash, the procedure was different. The Mishnah says that there in the Beis HaMikdash, it was Brocha Achas, that the Duchening actually was only one Brocha. In other words, they would say the whole thing together, without any break in between. Okay? So the Gemara says, V'kol Kach Loma. So why did they say all these things at one time? So he says, "Lofishein oinin omein b'mikdash," because they said that the word omein was not used in the Beis HaMikdash. This is based upon the Gemara that we had in Brachos, where it says that they did not use the word omein, but instead they used psukim, or they would say Baruch Shem Kod Malchusa. The idea of Baruch Shem Kod Malchusa, this we learn in the Mishnah in Yomor, where they speak about the service given on Yom Kippur, and of course this has been incorporated in the Machzor of the Musaf, at the time when people are looking forward to going home, relaxing, whatever it may be. But you have one of the most solemn services at that time is part of the Musaf that we call the Avoda. Okay? And there we have sort of like a reenactment of the service of Yom Kippur in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, when the Kohen Gadol had to do this, and what was the response of the people who were gathered over there? The Kohanim, Miharam, Ha'omdim Ba'azor, right? The priests and the people who were standing over there in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, Kishoyu Shem Nis Hashem, Nichbod, the Pharisees, when they would hear the God's divine name, and it was pronounced by the Kohen Gadol, as we said, you know, the way it was spelled, you know, with the Yud and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey and so on, right? And not with the substitute that we always use. Then in that Pateus it says, Hoyakorim, Ishtachim, right? Menofim al Panehim, they would bend their knee, prostrate themselves, fall upon their faces, Beyomrim, and they would say, Bo Hashem Kvod Malchu Seudiyon. This was the response given in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. But in Gemara Brochas, they have some other responses that they mention based upon Sukkim, Baruch HaRishem, and so on and so forth. Okay, all right. So this harks back to the same Gemara in Brochus, also in Tainus it's mentioned, because the word Omein was not the response given to Beis HaMikdash, so that therefore if they're going to answer Omein, then in that case they said the whole thing as one shot and then they gave whatever response. So Tana Rabbanan, our rabbis taught us, how do we know that Omein is not the response given by the people in the Beis HaMikdash and Emar, as it's written, Kumu uvochus HaRashem alakeichem in ho'elom yad ho'elom, right? Arise and bless the Lord your God min ho'elom yad ho'elom, from eternity to eternity. Okay? Umenayin shal kol brocho vrocho tehila, and how do we know that a word of praise should be responded to every single bracha? Shenemar, as it's written, right? Vivarchu shem kodecho, and they will play, they will bless your glorious name. Umeromam, and you are exalted al kol bracha sehila, literally exalted for every bracha and praise. And as they interpreted, al kol bracha uvracha, right? Ten lo tehila. For every single bracha, give him praise. So, okay. So with that, we are finished with the business of the Birkas Kohanim. Now we start a new Mishnah, and now the Mishnah speaks about actually a part of the service of Yom Kippur. Okay? And of course, it involves the Kohen Gadol in this case, because we said at the beginning of this particular chapter in Soto that certain things can be said in any language, but other things can be recited only in the Hebrew language, in the Loshon Kodesh. Okay, so that this is what we're dealing with. Here is another case of something that must be recited only in Loshon Kodesh, just as Birkas Kohanim had to be recited only in Loshon Kodesh, so likewise this too, the bracha that the Kohen Gadol had to recite on Yom Kippur as part of the service. So the question is, Birkos Kohen Gadol Ketzad. What kind of brachas did the Kohen Gadol make? So, Chazan HaKnesses, which means literally like the Shamis and the Shul, okay? Because this was in the temple, right? The Beis HaMikdash. Dotel Sefer Torah. He would take a Sefer Torah. V'nos Nolo, L'Rosh HaKnesses. And he would give it to the head of the Shul, like the synagogue president, okay? For Rosh HaKnesses, and the synagogue president, no stone is gone. He would give it to the Sagan. Sagan, today in modern Hebrew, we use in the sense like vice president or something like that, okay? But in the Beis HaMikdash, the Sagan was the person who was next in rank to the Kohen Gadol, okay? So he would give it to the Sagan. Whatever you want to call it, right. But as I say, he was next in rank to him, okay? He was his aide in chief, okay? All right? Vaskan knows the Kohen Gadol, and he would give it to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, Omeid, Umkabil, the Kore. And the Kohen Gadol would stand, receive the Torah, the Kore, and he would read in the Torah. What did he read? First of all, of course, he read Akrei Mos. In other words, this is the reading that we read to this very day on Yom Kippur, unless you're a Reformed Jew. Okay. I don't know what they do in Bethel these days. I trust that they're still doing the traditional reading. Yeah. Okay. But Reform years ago, they changed it. They, you know what they read on Yom Kippur? Atemnit Sofim.
They read a menu.
Yeah, Atemnit Sofim, that's what they read for Yom Kippur. At least that's according to the Union Prayer Book. I don't know if they've ever changed since then or not. All right. At any rate, yeah, the thing that got me is reading Reform drushes. The traditional reading for Yom Kippur is Atemnit Sofim. Of course, it's not the traditional reading. But, you know, they have, what shall I say, arrogated unto themselves that Reform practice is the traditional practice. Yeah. All right, so much for that. Echoes of Rabbi Wham's lecture. All right. So at any rate, he reads first of all Achrei Mos, okay? Then he reads Ach Be'osor, right? Question is, where is Ach Be'osor? The answer is, that happens to be in Parsha Emor. Parsha Emor. And it also deals with the laws of Yom Kippur, okay? That's where it is, yeah. Okay. The one on the margin over there, the first one, that's for Achrei Mos. But Ach Be'osor is like a Kaf Gimel. I said it's Parsha Emor. Yeah, you know, the Parsha where they deal with the various Yom Tovim. Okay, the Golel es HaTorah, and then he wraps up the Torah, right? Umanicho bechekol, and he lays it in his bosom, puts it on his lap. The Yomer, and he says, he keeps it in his bosom. The Yomer, and he says, Yesem emasha korisim uftechem kosef han, which means, and there are many other things that I could have read for you, but they are all written over here. Okay? Why? Because of the osor shebechumash kudim, because again, there's a third place where we have reference to Yom Kippur, namely in Parsha Pinchas, where we have, you know, the various musafim for all the festival days, right? And it's written over there, Ve'asur al-Kodesh Hashvi'i, Be'akul al-Kodesh, etc., Be'akodesh al-Chem, and so on and so forth, you know, where we read about the additional sacrifices for Yom Kippur. So it says that one, Korei Alpeh. He recites that orally. In other words, he doesn't read it from the Sefer Torah. And then he makes a blessing following it. And what does he recite? He recites Shmone Brochos. There are eight brochos that he has to recite. First one is Al HaTorah. In other words, Asher Nasalon Torah Semes, probably, V'chayul Mutab Sochenu. Or maybe before that he recited the brocho, you know, Asher Bochabonu Matu. It's quite possible. That's not indicated what it is. But he certainly recited Asher Nasalon Torah Semes, that he did. Of course, he's following the reading of the Torah. And then the Al HaAvodo. Obviously, this is the bracha that was recited in the Beis HaMikdosh for the sacrificial service. You know, what we recite would say, okay? The Al HaHodoyo, blessing of thanksgiving, which is corresponds, of course, to Modim, okay? The Yal Mechilas HaOvon, and a bracha in which he prays that our sins should be forgiven. Now this too is a bracha that we recite, but when do we recite it? I don't think they have it in here. But this is what we recite on Yom Kippur itself. I don't think they have the Yom Kippur service in here. No. In the older edition they used to have it, but I don't think they have it here. No, not this version. All right. But you know, it's the one that begins on King Sin Mechala Vadisainu Yom Kippur Mazeh. So you know, and then it winds up, Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech Meichel V'Selech L'Avinitzeinu, L'Avinitzam Yisrael, you know, God who forgives our sins and the sins of the entire household of Israel, and He forgives our trespasses year by year, Melech Al Kol Ha'aretz, right, God who is King of the entire universe, Mekadesh Yisrael, who sanctifies Israel, the Yom HaKippurim. Okay, so that bracha he would recite then. Then the Al HaNikdosh, he would make a special bracha in which he prayed to God that the Beis HaMikdosh, you know, would remain forever. The Al Yisrael, he would make a special blessing in which he prayed to God on behalf of the people of Israel. V'al ha-kohanim, and also a bracha in which he prayed to God on behalf of the kohanim. V'yad Yerushalayim, and another bracha he would recite for Jerusalem. The ha-she'or tefillah, and after that, the rest was a matter of prayer. Okay. So, we can take a look at the Rashi at this particular point and follow it. Okay, see where it says Mas Nisan over there? All right, Birchos Kohen Gadol. It says, B'yom HaKippurim, that he recited on Yom Kippur, Li'acha Shekolsa Avodas Hayom. After the going through all the sacrifices that he was required to perform on Yom Kippur day, right, Korei Batorah, then he would read in the Torah, K'meforish V'yazil, as it says, U'mevorech Shmona Brachos, and he would recite eight brachos, K'deba'inon L'meh Melkamen, as we're going to require to be said afterwards. Who is the Chazan HaKnesses? So he says, Shamash HaKnesses, okay? The word Chazan in this case corresponds to the later use of the word Shamash. Okay? That they use the expression Chazan. Yeah, right. Correct, correct. Yeah. Didn't actually go out of use, just that it became a more special.
16th, 17th.
Yeah, correct. They still continue to use it, like, for example, Chazan HaKnesses, let's say, Badlikas HaNeiros, something like that, you know. You would light the Hanukkah candles. It doesn't mean the Chazan, but it means, you know, the person who is in charge of the carrying on of what we would call our ritual men. Okay? So he's the Shamash HaKnesses, Shetoreach Iskei HaKnesses. Shetoreach Iskei HaKnesses alone. He has the burden of carrying on all the various functions, in the shul. Lahachnis and Lahotzi, right? He has to.
Excuse me, Torah, is this like Tircha? I mean, is that
yeah, yeah, Torah, okay. Right. Okay. The burden, right, Torah. Okay. Yeah. Lahachnis, he has to bring in what you have to, Lahotzi, to take out. Lahavshit, it's a table. We learned previously last week that they would actually strip the ark after it was used, right, or the Hochin HaKolon, prepare everything. So that was his job. So who is the Rosh HaKnesses? So that, as I translate, is the Shul President. Al Piv Nechtochin Divrei HaKnesses. He makes the decision for the various things that has to take place in the Shul. Mi Avtir Benovi, because today we give it over to a Gabbai, okay? We have Shul Presidents who are not always knowledgeable about these things, so we have a Gabbai who's in charge of it. Okay, but his job, he says, is to decide mi after banovi, who's the one that's going to recite the Haftorah and the Prophet, or mi efros al Shema, who's going to go up to recite the Shema, or mi yered lifnei